This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Floater towards right center. It carries well. A diving catch! Devin Conley with a play of his life, and it's still 1-0.
That game would finish off pretty well, wouldn't it, Jimmy?
It would.
Yeah.
Fun weekend.
Yeah. That was a rainy weekend, a rainy day as well. Dan in Dallas.
And a bright sunny day as well.
Yeah, right.
Just back and forth. Yeah.
Right. Just it was a typical Lubbock day.
Yeah, a little shower in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dan in Dallas reports this. My prediction is a 2-nap weekend. Fingers crossed. Oh, good for you, Dan in Dallas. I don't know about two.
Amateurs.
I'm amateur. Well,
there'll be 2 naps on Saturday. What are you talking about?
Syntax Inc. says this. My prediction for the weekend is I'll finish writing the book on raising chickens I've been working on. Oh, and Red Raiders squads, tennis, softball, and baseball all win. I'm curious about why you would write a book about raising chickens, and do you have a coop? Interesting.
If he's writing a book about it,
yeah.
I would think he has a coop.
He's got
probably
a
couple of them.
He's probably got some really extensive knowledge. This question back to the sports world, Jamie.
A couple of them?
Yeah,
a couple coops? Does that make it a deuce coop?
If they were small, would they be little deuce coops?
Yeah, there we go. Okay, thank you. You finished that off well, very nicely.
Home run. One of us had to. We knew you'd never get there.
No, I got it. No, that one I could get. That one I got.
I had a few friends tell me yesterday that they enjoyed you not getting my joke about Federico.
You forgot the comma.
Yeah, you just kind of blew past that one. That was.
I just really didn't understand that, but
they said my joke was just a little bit funny, but they said you not getting it was hilarious.
Well, I'm glad I could entertain. It's really not very good when you're entertaining by not knowing that you're entertaining, right? I mean, the fact that they found that funny and I wasn't even trying to be funny. Or wasn't even knowing that I was funny or that it was entertaining is kind of sad, actually.
It's kind of hilarious.
Yeah, that's right. This question, JL, should I be more nervous about West Virginia? Not sure why, but I feel like this team is going to wake up and bounce back.
You should definitely be nervous about West Virginia, but I don't think the team needs to wake up per se. I think you saw good baseball for the most part, you know, in the 4 straight losses, and you had seen it for 8 straight games. You'd seen a lot of good baseball there. They just, you know, 1 inning here or there that's kind of cost you. So I don't think that they've just kind of sleptwalked through things. I mean, if you were wondering about that, it's kind of, you know, where Jeff was going into Wednesday's game, thinking that, man, you were going to get blown out after the heartbreaker of Tuesday night and all that. And, I mean, that team battled, mm-hmm. I mean, to the final out. So, I think the team's still competing. I don't think they've packed it in. I don't think they've given up because they've lost their last 4 games by 5 total runs or last 6 games by 7 total runs. I mean, they're competing. They're just coming up a little bit short. And your hope is that you can kind of turn the table on that and it can kind of build off of itself mm-hmm. and better things are going to happen. There's no guarantee that's going to happen. I mean, we're deep into the season. We would have hoped that kind of, you know, light bulb moment would have happened before now. But.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe there's a little bit of truth of waking up. Maybe they can wake up in the key clutch situations in those moments that kind of lifts them up. And
at some point, too, you kind of feel like your luck's going to turn around a little bit where instead of those hard line drives being hit right at somebody, it's going to fall in the gap or something along those lines.
Well, baseball gods sometimes are very evil people.
Okay. What do we need to do to help them? Syntax Hank says this with regard to his chicken book. I'm being paid to write it. Well, hey, that's the best kind of book then. That's the best kind of book. I saw this yesterday. I thought this was... I got two kind of crazy things for you. Do you want a baseball thing that I have a real question about, or do you want a basketball NBA thing that I have that I think is kind of cool? Which would you like? Your choice.
I'll pick the baseball.
Okay.
Shocked.
Yeah, right. And that's fine. So there's this guy who played for the Atlanta Braves a long, long time ago. His name is Gary Cooper. I do not remember him, okay? And this is...
Pretty good actor. It's hard to believe you can't remember him.
Right, no. That's the first thing I thought of. He was drafted in the third round of the 1975 draft by the Atlanta Braves. He was a guy that was an outfielder, but known for his speed. He spent 42 days with the team, okay? On the 43rd day, he was going to play in a game, but it was canceled because of rain. Before he could make one more appearance, he was moved down to the minor leagues, never to return. The 43rd day is the threshold for earning a mandatory Major League Baseball pension. And so now... Still, after 44 years, he's one day from earning that mandatory league pension. I don't know how much that means to him a month. If it's $1,000 a month, $2,000 a month, I don't know what that means to him. The rainout had no impact on the number of days of service, as the system doesn't count that a game needed to be played for that day. But the fact that he was not there means that he's still a day short. He is 67 years old. And now there's this petition to get him on the Braves coaching staff for a day or something along those lines. The petition has received nearly 5,000 signatures. How would you respond to that?
I would have loved for the Braves in the moment to have realized, okay, this guy's at 42 days.
Yeah, 1975. I mean, you know, the salaries really hadn't exploded yet, and the union was still very strong because they'd had a strike in 72. The value of what a pension could have been, you know, thought. I just feel like if you do it for one guy, then there's going to be somebody else and somebody else and somebody else and somebody else.
I don't think they should do it now.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It's sad. It's too bad. But that's just sometimes that's the way baseball go, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I thought that was kind of interesting that this comes up, and the guy has not had the best of life. I mean, he's had some challenges, and people are trying to help him out, which I get, but I think throwing him on for a day to try to get him in a pension, probably not necessarily the best thing to do.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Here on the Morning Drive, today is Friday, April the 19th, 2024. With this day in sports history, here is Jeff McGuire.
I'm going to go back to 1926. You want some faith in your Red Raiders?
Sure, yeah.
Pitcher Volney Hill drives in two for the Texas Tech Red Raiders and throws their first no-hitter in a 3-0 win over McMurray.
Wow, how about that? He's doing it all. Five-tool guy.
1949, Yankees dedicate a plaque for Babe Ruth.
Was that the first one?
I don't know if it was him or Lou.
Yeah, that would have been the other guy I would have thought.
So, do you guys miss at all? I'm sorry, I'm going back.
Yes.
You miss at all, like a pitcher helping himself out?
No. It's cool when it happens. I don't miss it.
I don't miss it. I thought. Here's what I thought you were going to ask me.
I mean, I
thought you were going to ask me, do I miss the monuments being kind of in the field of play for the Yankees?
Of course you do.
I never knew them to be in the field of play.
Kind of in the field of play.
Yeah. yeah. So you like the whole, you know, when a pitcher gets a hit and it's a big surprise and all that. Mm-hmm. You guys don't miss that.
I've seen.
I get like the home runs are cooler than guys that strike out. I get it. Mm-hmm.
It's also I've seen too many rallies killed by the pitcher coming up to at bat and having no skill with a bat in his hand whatsoever.
But it was so cool to see guys like Maddox that did.
Right. You know what? They're allowed to hit. the manager can put that pitcher in as a hitter that day and make him the DH if he can hit.
Yeah, but that's...
Shohei Ohtani does it every time he pitches. Yeah. It's allowed to happen. They're just getting rid of the guy who has no business with a bat in his hand out of the lineup.
You've just taken away some of the fun strategy of baseball that in the National League where a manager had to decide, go keep this pitcher in or do I pinch hit for him? I mean, it takes away the fun of, you know, a pitcher who has no, who looks like the guy that Jeff just described all of a sudden going yard or coming up with a big hit out of nowhere. I mean, that to me was fun, okay? Another burly guy who can hit it 450 feet. Whoop-de-doo, mate.
Oh, that's pretty impressive when a ball goes 450. It only counts as one, but it's still cool.
I don't know. I missed that part of the game. I know. I am milk toast and the most boring person in the world and all the above.
And let's just say he gets the walk. Then he's got to put the running jacket on it first.
And that's cool, too. Give him one of those sweet-looking satin jackets the New Mexico play-by-play guy wears.
Yeah.
I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah, I loved it when they came out with, like, it was 105 degrees out and the pitchers would have to wear that jacket. That was pretty cool.
I mean, just, there's just so much of the pitchers hitting that I miss.
They're out there running the base pass.
I'm the only one in America, but I miss it. I hate the DH.
I don't think you're
so
the only
much.
One.
I don't hate the DH, but I could have the occasional pitcher batting, but...
No, you can't. Not anymore.
I know, but I mean, I liked it when the National League and the American League were different. I liked it when you had the American League umpires and the National League umpires, and you had the strike zone was a little bit different, and the ballparks were a little bit different.
Okay, I can't. Well, the ballparks are different, every one of them.
Well, I know that, but
it doesn't matter if American League or National League.
The style of them was a little bit different.
I don't need the umpires to be different. I just...
Well, I liked it when they were...
I want athletes to have to be full-on athletes, not just for one situation.
Sure.
I don't want players in basketball to stay at the offensive end of the court. I want them to have to run back and play defense. You know, all the above.
Hey, Dirk ran back and played defense. Well, Dirk ran back.
And was on the defensive end of the floor.
He was on the defensive end of the floor. All right, guys. Today's the beginning of the end in 1960. Baseball uniforms begin displaying players' names on their back.
Wow.
Because that's when we started saying, they need to play for the name on the front of their jersey, not the one on the back. It all started today, folks.
I don't hate that.
Who was the first one that did that?
That complained about the
jerseys? Jerseys on the name of the bank.
I don't know specifically which team. But today was the start of it.
Yeah, I don't hate that you get to put your name on the back. I think that's okay.
Making the joke about playing for the name on the front of the jersey and not the one
on the
back.
No, I get it. I get it.
1996, Rangers went bananas. 16 runs in the eighth inning versus the Orioles, 26-7 final score in this one. They scored a lot of runs in one inning. The play-by-play guys threw out their scorebooks. Couldn't keep up. And on this day in 2013, Texas Tech head coach Todd Petty engineered a 4-3 win for the over number 25 TCU for the Lady Raiders to earn a share of their second consecutive Big 12 conference title.
Good for him.
It's National Amaretto Day, which is a flavored liqueur usually as a mixer in cocktails.
Amaretto sour, not a big fan, but it's okay.
Happy birthday, Hayden Christensen, 43, James Franco, 46, Kate Hudson, 45, Tim Curry, best evil laugh ever, 78, Suge Knight, 59, Maria Sharapova, 37, Ashley Judd, 56, Troy Polamalu, 43, Joe Mauer, 41, and Jose Cruz Jr. is 50 today. And think back to February 28th, guys. Tech baseball was about to play Gardner Webb for a three-game series. Basketball had just lost to Texas at the USA. Lady Raiders were taking on TCU that night, and the softball team was playing their last road game before their home opener. That was a while ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if this was 1993, that was the day the ATF stormed the Branch Davidians in Waco.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's been 51 days since then, and on April 19th, the FBI fired tear gas in ending the tense standoff between the federal government and the armed religious cult. By the end of the day, the compound was burned to the ground, and some 80 Branch Davidians, including 22 children, had perished in the inferno. And that is this day in sports history.
All right, that means it's time for your lucky winning word here this morning. I've got one that's very appropriate based on Jeff's This Day in Sports History. Double T 97.3 in the Home Zone, where they make your house a home every day at 50th in Indiana, giving you the opportunity to win some cash with our lucky winning word. All you have to do is go to TT973.com and get signed up to play and enter the winning word when I give it to you. Obviously, the more times you enter, the winner, the more times you enter, the more times you have a chance to win. This is a local contest, so everybody is right here in our listening area. We'll give away one final prize of $2,500 in cash at Two Docks on Thursday, June the 20th. It's all from the Home Zone and Double T 97.3. Jeff talked about a big game for the Rangers against Baltimore. Their nickname, the Orioles, our lucky winning word. At 6:45 today, as the green grass grows all around, and the world is indeed round, is Orioles. O-R-I-O-L-E-S. Orioles is your lucky winning word at 6:45 this morning. How about that for connecting all the dots?
That's what we do. I don't think many people think all of our dots are connected.
By the way, the first monument for the New York Yankees was in honor of Miller Huggins. He was given that honor posthumously as he died suddenly in the 1929 season. And they honored him with it was in the field of play. It wasn't necessarily on the field, but the monument was inside the stadium. There was also a flagpole at one point in time at the 500-foot mark there at Yankee Stadium. And so they erected a freestanding monument in front of the flagpole in his honor. And that was the beginning of Monument Park for the New York Yankees back in 1932. So there you go.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Michigan State ball to the left of their goal. Winston Tier drops it up where it's grabbed by Tillman. He'll lob it out to Winston. Catches, dances right, separates and shoots for three. Strong, rim high rebound. Brandon Francis and the Red Raiders can dribble it out. Dreams, more of them coming true. 2-1. The Texas Tech buzzsaw continues to slice through competition. The Red Raiders will play for a national championship Monday night.
. 7:15 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Good morning with Jamie Lent, Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. Great to have you with us. And thanks to Jeff for giving us some happy moments this morning. That's good. It's good, you know. And hopefully some happy moments are created this weekend, too.
Are you really down, Jeff? You just wanted to do some cool stuff
today? I am bringing everybody back up.
He's rising. He's the rising tide.
I don't. Are people that down right now?
There are some. And even if you're not down, you're going to enjoy everything.
Yeah, no, that part I agree. Yeah, that's just pure fun, right? No,
yeah, it's fun. It's Friday. It's a fun Friday.
But we are bringing everybody up. Everybody gets a jump in their step today.
Yeah,
everybody
no, I think it gives
gets
you one.
A pep.
Yeah.
Everybody gets to walk around with their chest bowed out a little bit and go, up. We can do this.
we can do this.
It's funny by... I don't know. I think by Jeff feeling like he needs to bring everybody up, it's like he's saying everybody's down, okay? And like him saying, like, we can do this. Like, I mean, I don't feel like we're David right now,
We're not in the ditch, right?
I mean, this is not a miracle. I mean, we lost three games in a row by one run and another one by two. It's not...
There's a really great, I want to say early 80s, late 70s movie. And at the, I Millennium, I think it's what it's called. I could be wrong on that. Where the whole idea is that plane crash victims aren't actually plane crash victims. They're swapped out and they're sent to a future time. And it's time travel and it's weird. But the end of that movie.
I've seen that movie. I've seen this movie. I don't remember what it's called.
I don't remember what it's called. But the end of that movie, they've got a black screen. And you hear a voiceover say, "This is not the end. This is not the beginning of the end. This is the end of the beginning." And I kind of feel like that's where we're at. This doesn't have to be the end right now for everybody who's down the dumps and rolling through it and thinking Tech baseball is never going to win another baseball game. We're at the end of the beginning. We have the middle and the end to go. We can do this. And I'm taking you with me.
The end of the beginning. Okay, Grasshopper. 7:18 this morning here on the Morning Drive. The other Big 12 series, I want to know which ones of these intrigue you that are going on. Of course, you have Oklahoma and BYU that'll play game two of their three-game series today. Then you have Houston and Cincinnati that opens up a series there in Cincinnati. You have UCF playing host to Central Michigan. That's obviously non-Big 12 play. Oklahoma State and Kansas State will play in Manhattan. Baylor plays host to Kansas. Texas and TCU will play in Austin. And like I said, you've got Oklahoma and BYU again tonight there in Provo.
Houston and Cincinnati is kind of a dud.
Yeah, I would
UCF
agree with that.
UCF will pound Central Michigan, mm-hmm. I would imagine. I think Oklahoma State and K-State, it's a great series.
Okay.
Anything could happen there. Kansas and Baylor, somewhat interesting. Baylor's kind of forced their way back up into the top half of the Big 12 standings. And just want to see how, you know, Kansas, who I think is a good baseball team, handles playing on the road in Waco, where we know they can really pitch. And then obviously the TCU and Texas series is fun just because you hate both those teams. And, so you're interested to see what exactly goes on there. I expect Texas to win that series. TCU, similar to the Red Raiders, is a different team at home than they are on the road. That's at least what we've seen so far in Big 12 play. And Oklahoma at BYU, that's another dud. I would expect the Sooners to easily win that series.
Can you kind of put TCU's your hatred there aside and root for the Horned Frogs against Texas because Texas is ahead of TCU in the standings?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
And then the same thing goes with Kansas State and Oklahoma State. Kansas State is 7-8 and Oklahoma State's 10-5.
Yeah, I'll be rooting for K-State.
Yeah. Then I guess you same.
I'll be rooting against West Virginia too. They're at the top of the standings.
Right? Yeah. No. That. Yeah. That's a given. That should be.
I'll be rooting against Oklahoma too, but I don't think they'll win.
Yeah. Man, I'm really the whole Cincinnati thing. I mean, it's so fascinating. Their little complex that they've got there because they've got right all together. They've got their basketball arena. Then they've got these intramural soccer fields, and they've got a baseball park and a football stadium. I mean, and you can see them all very clearly, like just on from the street level when you're looking at that area. And it looks like the baseball stadium is kind of a bandbox. I'm sure when
which school were we talking about? I'm sorry,
Cincinnati.
Okay.
They're all right there. They're all right there together. And then they're building. It looked like they were building when we were there this past winter, to the right of the baseball stadium, adding on to their football complex to I guess make it up to kind of Big 12 standards for their, you know, football training facility, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, it's just weird how it's all right there. I mean, it's just. Amazing how it's not a very big complex. I mean, it's, you know, a couple of blocks, city blocks, I guess, by the time you'd all put it all together. But when you're just looking at it from the street level, because you look down at the baseball stadium and you look across and there's the arena, and then you look to your left a little bit and there's the football stadium. So it's just kind of weird how that all is all right there together, and just seems like it's a real tight little blocks there. But, I mean, it's in a city. It's in Cincinnati. I mean, it's not like they've got acres and acres of land like we have here, you know, at Texas Tech. And Texas Tech's one of the biggest campuses in the Big 12 just in terms of land mass, you know, when you look at it, and available land. I mean, it's there's more and more of it that's getting swallowed up with dorms and buildings and things like that compared to 20, 30 years ago. But it's just kind of fascinating. Speaking of that, I was talking with a former Texas Tech coach the other night. He was in town for the Texas Tech College National Football Foundation College Hall of Fame dinner. His daughter's going to school here, and his dad was a coach here as well. But anyway, I asked him, I go, hey, have you been by the stadium? He was like, yeah, I drove by it. He goes, what's that structure on the south end that they're building? I said, well, that's the new football building. He's like, the new football building? I go, yeah, they tore down the old one. He goes, they tore down the old one. It was just incredible. He's like, they tore down the old one. He goes, he was a Leach era coach and a Tuberville era coach. I don't know if he worked for Leach or not. But anyway, the bottom line is, it's not that long ago. He's like, they tore it. It was just like incredulous. They tore down that building. Yeah, they tore it down. And it's going to be a two-story structure. It's massive. And the south end zone is, he goes, yeah, I know, that's massive. He goes, I've seen that. He goes, but he just was like, wow. I'm like, yeah, I know. It's kind of crazy. But that's what they've done. They've torn it down and starting over.
Yeah, not that old.
Not that old. Not that old at all. 7:23 and some change here this morning on the Morning Drive. Take your thoughts, comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. We'll see what kind of goodies Mr. McGuire has for us here this morning on the Morning Drive. Jamie's question of the day is next.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Time now for Jamie's question of the day on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3.
I'm a little bit afraid with this question that I might ruin Jeff's vibe.
Oh.
I've got the hammer to bring it back up if I need
okay.
to.
Okay. Good.
I've been saving the hammer. I've got it ready to go when we need it in case it happens.
Okay.
Right, well, that means Graham Harrell's arm is right. Ready to
That's
throw.
Right. That's exactly what I was thinking.
What was his name? Blake Gideon has just dropped an easy interception.
And we're all just going, oh my God, we still have life.
Yeah. Okay, so my question for you guys today, I don't know, you can answer it any way you want. Your feelings now include confidence into that with the Red Raider football team compared to when this before the spring practices started. Or let's just make it after the bowl game.
Okay.
Bowl game's over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know who's leaving, who's not.
Mm-hmm. And you know that Taj Brooks is coming back at this point, right?
Yep. Okay. Yep. So your thoughts about your confidence level, where you're at with this team now compared to where you were January 1-ish around there.
Man, I'm uneasy. I am uneasy.
I think that's a good word.
You know, I'm concerned about your quarterback. Obviously, I've made that crystal clear. If you've listened to this show at all for any sort of amount of time, I'm concerned. I mean, and I'm usually the guy that's the sunshine pumper, you know, on that. I'm curious about, you know, defense on the offensive, the defensive line and the defensive backfield. And, you know, part of it is, too, is just haven't seen enough, you know, of that because we've got so many changes and you've got new schools that you're going to be playing this year. I think if you were to put me to, put the truth serum to me right now today and give me the gas, so to speak, I think I might be a 6-6 guy right now. That I'm uneasy because I just think
Where were you after the bowl game?
Oh, I'd probably be
13-0 national championship game. We're ready to go. That's where he was.
I'd probably be. At the start of the spring, I probably would have been an 8-4, 9-3 guy.
Wow.
So I'm a little. I'm a little, but maybe being a little tempered is good. Okay, and I think we've seen tempered comments from everybody.
We need to make a graph. This would be so much fun, Jeff. One of those graphs that, you know, have
charts what Chuck thinks the record's going to be.
It's like an earthquake.
This thing's going up and down.
I'm telling you, man, I live the roller coaster of life, you know?
At the end of the season, if the Tech wins the bowl game, it's going to be perfect season.
Right.
And then
we get close to it, man. We get to August, you know, and
We'll get to spring.
Okay.
First spring practice. The schedule's been out. You kind of look at it a little bit. You come down a little bit. Yeah. And then the first injury, doesn't matter who it's going to be, happens in the spring. Yeah. And then it's going to drop off the face of the earth.
And then Joey McGuire speaks.
And then it's
up to a 16-win season.
You just around him at all, man. You get a good feel about everything. I mean, because he's such a positive guy and such a, you know, you can just feel the energy just coming off of him, which is awesome.
The week of the kickoff breakfast,
luncheon. It goes through the roof.
The guys in the International Space Station are actually asking Chuck to move over. They'd like to get by.
Right. No, that's all fair.
Okay.
So I am uneasy. Okay. That's it. I'm uneasy.
At the end of the bowl game, I was very excited for the team for winning the bowl game, but I also realized that, like a lot of us did, that you felt like you left a lot on the table for the season, that a lot didn't go your way for your own actions. So I was concerned going into the spring and into next year at that point of, are we going to get those type of things fixed? I don't know what the record was because we hadn't seen a schedule yet. Schedule comes out, and I'm like, okay, this looks like a... I mean, I don't want to say cake, but, you know...
Reasonable.
We're not running through a grinder for our football schedule this year. There's some tough games for sure, but it's not like it has been in the past.
When did we find out what the schedule was?
March?
Chuck, this is a question for you. I mean, you're the one that obsesses over schedules.
Oh, man, this schedule's been out for quite some time. I mean...
Was it before? It was in January.
It was January or certainly early February.
Right. So I think I was 8-4 when the schedule came out, just looking at it, going, this is a very beneficial schedule to Tech. Then you hear Morton's not healthy all the way and still not able to finish practices through spring, and I go down a little bit. But not a lot compared to where I was at the end of the season, because I had battened down the hatches then. It was, we're going to be ready to go and watch how this thing sits. We're not going to jump into any conclusions. We're not going to say this is a national championship team or we're going to win a Big 12 title. This team's got some work to do and still some things to prove. So I'm a little lower than I was at the end of the bowl game, but not a lot lower.
Okay, so this one... I'm a little bit like Chuck. Don't clip and save that, please. And that there has been some ups and downs a little bit. I think when at the end of the bowl game, I'm feeling good about you being a bowl team again.
Mm-hmm.
I think the seeing the schedule made it go up quite a bit, maybe a couple games. And I'm still not in the mode that I think Baron Morton is not going to be healthy, but I am definitely in the mode of, I believe it's possible that he could not be healthy. And so I think that's dropped me down a little bit. So I probably was more of an 8-4 guy that slipped to 7-5 just because I'm just not sure about Baron.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm still confident that he'll be healthy, but
yeah.
I'm keeping an open thought that it's possible that he's not going to be.
Mm-hmm.
That changes things dramatically. If we were to know that, that would change things a bunch.
Yeah. This tempering your expectations has zero impact on the actual team, Chuck. Okay, thank you. 7:40.
The Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
You called down the thunder. Well, now you got it.
You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
O'Hara in the shotgun from the 28. The throw goes to the right side for Crabtree. It's caught.
He breaks.
Oh, he's the worst. Red Raiders.
Unbelievable.
Touchdown, Red Raiders. Michael Crabtree has done it.
Sometimes the best thing about that is the third voice is Sonny Cumbie.
I think all three. I mean, Jensen sounds, I guess he sounds like he's sick. Okay. But obviously he nails it. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. I mean, Harris's pure emotion is super fun to me. And Coach Cumbie or Sonny or whoever he was at the time. He was just Sonny at that point in time.
I mean, like
the lack of, this is going to come out wrong, but the lack of like radio professionalism is awesome. It's just pure joy. It's fantastic. Yes. It's not scripted. It's all organic, fake. It's not. Well, this is what I'm supposed to do. And when the second guy gets done starts talking, I rate. No, I mean, it's just three guys that like lose their mind.
Right.
And
like
it's
everybody
awesome.
Was.
It's fantastic. So, I mean, kudos to all three of those guys because in a moment that any Red Raider fan will always remember, we would want to be great and we would want them to be feeling the same exact thing that we were feeling. It sounds like all three of them were.
Because it truly was unbelievable.
Yeah.
It truly was, especially like you said earlier, the play before that, Blake Gideon basically dropping a sure interception that would have ended the game, and then, boy, just kind of would have changed everything.
It's like three Red Raider grad homers calling the game. It was awesome. It didn't sound like professional broadcasters in my radio voice. It sounded like three Red Raiders that somehow stumbled into the booth, stole the mic from the suits, and then just killed it.
No doubt. Hey, good morning, everybody. With Jamie Lent and Jeff McGuire, I'm Chuck Hines. We come to you from our First United Bank studio here in downtown Lubbock and getting you ready for the weekend, getting you ready for some Red Raider baseball. They'll play tonight, and hopefully they can make some memories tonight when they play over at Danlaw Field at Rip Griffin Park. 6:30, first pitch. Our broadcast begins at 6. We'll be talking about it all day here on Double T 97.3 in addition on 100.7 The Score an hour from now when the end of the bench guys take over. And bottom line at high noon today. So look forward to that. Let's see here. Bullfighter says this. I can make a new list or graph if needed. This is in reference to me and my thoughts on my emotion going up and down with regard to the, I'm not down on the Red Raider football team going in. I'm just a little uneasy going into the spring and the summer. And maybe that's good because my expectations are not tempered or anything like that. I don't know what to think yet.
I think it's fair to be uneasy knowing you don't know exactly the situation with the quarterback. I am tending to believe he will be healthy, but I, again, am holding out a little portion of my mind that says it's possible that he's not going to be healthy. And that would change my record prediction dramatically if he's not healthy. I mean, in a big way. So if we get there and we find out he's not healthy, then that would feel a little bit different. But we really should do that, Jeff. Maybe we go week to week where we see what the graph does, and we can do all three of us. You know, and we can put it up on the wall in here and see where everybody goes.
Let's see. We get this.
One more thing for you to take care of, Jeff, with your markers.
Jamie, I want to thank you for always being the voice of reason and maturity.
Some might disagree with the maturity part, you know, especially Mrs. Lent.
Does she think that you're... Yeah, I wonder.
It's relative maturity, Jamie.
I think the 16-year-old probably thinks I'm the least mature.
Right, but in this building, you're probably, you know, third or fourth most mature.
Okay, relative. All right, okay. I can buy into that. I mean, Yeah.
I mean, there's the guy down the hall, the way down the hall. He's probably at the top of the list.
Okay.
Yeah, he's probably the top.
Yeah, that's smart for you to say. Yeah, he might be listening.
my wife has a tendency to think that I'm 12.
Yeah, you would not be near the top of the list. No. Neither would I, for the record.
12.
Clint Scott would be at the very bottom.
Ooh.
He was, you know.
Maturity?
I will say this about Clint Scott and Choice Woodman the other night at dinner at this event that I went to. Both of them brought their spouses. Clint Scott was like, I think there was a different Clint Scott there because he was with the missus. Yeah, she was.
She had a taser in her purse.
I think in the Woodmans, I think they were just happy to be out of the house from and away from the kids. No,
that's not fair.
No, it's probably not fair. No.
His kids act right. He wants to hang around them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. With regard to our new big fella, Frederico, will the new guy's nickname be comma, or even somebody said you said the big comma?
Yeah, when you that's the funny part to me. When you were talking about him, I like in my mind, I was like, when Chuck's done talking, this happens a lot. I'm gonna say this, or I'm gonna ask him this. Mm-hmm. And then you say something else that makes me chuckle or scratch my head, and I forget to say what I was going to say. I was going to say that I think his nickname should be the Big Comma.
The Big Comma.
Yeah, as a joke. But I forgot, and the texter was on the same wavelength with me, so that's a little bit disturbing for him.
Let's see here. We get this from about 40 minutes ago. I was talking about the landmass of Texas Tech. This person says, Texas Tech is one of the top three universities in the nation, Chuck, as far as area, and one of the very few that has an undergrad, grad, law, and medical school all on the same campus. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Dan in Dallas wants to know if we've bought the new Taylor Swift album yet. I didn't know she had one. Is this an LP or is this CD, 8-track, or is this
digital
just
download,
digital?
Chuck. Digital download.
I knew that. I was
asking the question, and I'm giving you your answer.
Just being a little facetious there. I miss the days though of going to the record store and you know seeing people lined up to buy the new record. Not that I ever did that, which I did not, because I just listened to them on the radio. That's just the way I was.
I miss the days of tuning into an NFL game and they focus on the NFL game.
Or anything. 8:09 this morning here on the Morning Drive.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT 97.3.com.